Yes, Alhamdulillah. This man, if you're going to comment with our Masail program, it's a phone-in program. We have Mufti Ilyas Sabi in the studios. Any questions you have, inshallah, Al-Aziz, you can start calling us right now. And the number to call is 011-854-1548. But just a reminder, inshallah, Al-Aziz, at the Sabri Masjid, there's Hajj lessons taking place. And today is the final Sunday for the month of Ramadan al-Mubarak. And today, inshallah, Al-Aziz, the topic under discussion is Medina and Ziyarat. And it's been conducted by Maulana Rashid Dabeli Asad. And the program has already commenced and started in this separate accommodation for our mothers and sisters also that's been provided. And also, inshallah, Al-Aziz, there's another bayan taking place that will rather take place between 3 and 4 this afternoon. It's a ladies' program at number 7 Vibert Street, Extension 3, Lanesha, between 3 and 4 this afternoon. And the speaker today will be Maulana Muhammad Karoli Asad. And this bayan is khas only for our mothers and sisters. Yes, before inshallah we commence, before we take our the calls, we'd like to welcome Mufti Ilyas Sahab. Mufti Sahab, Jazakumullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mufti Sahab, Jazakumullah so much for your time. It's an honor sitting with you in the studios. To the listeners of Satellite Islam and Radio Islam listeners, you can start calling us any questions you have, inshallah, regarding Zakat, Hajj, Umrah, whatever it is, inshallah, regarding the month of Ramadan. If you miss any rozas, kafara, fidya, Eid, any masjid on deen, any questions, inshallah, Al-Aziz, you can start calling us, inshallah. The program will go right up to 3:30. So we have, inshallah, Al-Aziz, about 1.5 hours. Start calling us right now on 011-854-1548. Well, firstly, before we come to the one or two masjid that came regarding Hajj and Umrah, there's a question regarding a person who wants to buy a car, a brother who wants to buy a car. And he says that a bank is willing to finance me for a car at a fixed rate of over 48 months. The rate is calculated at the percentage that is 2% over prime and remains fixed over the period, even if the interest rate changes. The car's ownership and the title remains with the bank until final payment. The question the brother poses is, am I allowed to accept this type of agreement? And number two is, according to the bank, I have to insure this financed car. Would it be okay for me then to insure this car? What does Sharia say, Mufisa?
Short answers for that is yes, yes. And I think this email also came to me, and I replied to that brother who has sent the email here also that, see, the condition of sale. Condition of sale should be that the price must be fixed. Price must be fixed, and the installment is agreed upon. The goods, you know the good. So there is no ignorance in the price, there is no ignorance in the item, and there is no ignorance in the installment. And also that you are forced to insure it, so because you are forced, unfortunately you have to insure it. And you must tell the bank that make an agreement, special agreement, that they are selling you this car at this price. So irrespective of interest fluctuations, the price of the car will remain one.
Jim. Okay. So such finance schemes are permissible. We go to line number 6. We have Brother Abdul in Indonesia. Abdul, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brother Abdul on line 6. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Abdul, are you there? It seems we lost Brother Abdul. Musa, we go to line number 4. We have anonymous caller on line number 4. Assalamu alaikum. Sorry, I think we lost him as well. Now, Musa, just one question regarding that Masail, that Masala on this, on buying a car on a fixed installment.
See, don't make a blanket statement that buying finance vehicles, etc., is permissible. I put a lot of conditions there.
Yes, yes.
I've stated that you should tell the bank, listen, that you must not write the interest. And you must say that we are selling you this car here at this price. So there is no interest involvement. The bank is selling you this car at a certain price, fixed price. So now you're not interested in the fluctuating prime rates of the interest. Also, there'll be an installment repayment. And when you are finished paying your installment, you become the legal, rightful owner of this.
Yes, JazakAllah for this response. We have another question. The caller says the fact that was sent to Radio Islam says, Assalamu alaikum. In your kitab, Zakat, in your kitab called Zakat, printed 1993 on page number 72, you state that for zakat calculation, the selling price of goods should be taken. That you pick from Ahsan al-Fatawa, page number 499. And generally, the brother says, market value is taken for valuations like jewelry, etc. In the case of stock of goods, selling price will be closer to market value. The brother further says that some businessmen say that the cost price of goods to the trader should be used for calculation of zakat. And he says, I did speak to you before and you agreed the selling price is closer to market value. Could you comment on this, please? Before you comment, let me go to line number 6. We have brother Abdul. Abdul, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I think we have another problem there. It's a terrible line. Maaf, Abdul, inshallah, you can call us again on 0118541548. What is up your response to this fact that was sent?
See, concerning this, I think year in and year out we are getting this difficulty about selling price and cost price and all that. We have written quite an interesting book on this zakat in detail. Actually, it is a translated work and of Maulana Muhammad Rafat Saab, Ustad of Darul Uloom Deoband, and we have made a summary of it. It original was question and answer. We have summarized it, and alhamdulillah, it's a very extremely good, useful textbook on zakat. Now there you will find that the ulama ikram are quoting that market related value. Later on in the book we explain from Fatwa Darul Uloom Deoband that market related value. Now market related value from one angle of the shopkeeper, that when he has to, for example, he bought a pen. Now for him the market related value is that if he has to go and repurchase this pen, if he is selling it at 5 red and he bought it at 4 red, if he has to replace it, it's still at 4 red. So for when he is looking at it, it is his cost price. But when we are looking at it, it is the market related value. So the safe thing to say current market related value. But when the shopkeeper is looking at it, it's a replacement value. So it could be a replacement value from one angle, could be cost price from one angle, could be the current market value from another angle. All are pointing to the one cost, that is the current market related value.
Alright, JazakAllah for that. It's now 10 minutes to the hour of 2 o'clock. We are tuned to Radio Islam, Medium Way 1548, to the listeners of Step Dad Islam in Radio Islam. Listeners, any questions, queries you have, yes, pick up the phone and call us right now. In the number to call is 0118541548. Any questions regarding Umrah, Hajj, Roza, Kafara, etc., etc., inshallah, call us on 0118541548. And Mufti Ilyas Saab is in the studios to answer your calls.
I just want to, if you do not have any callers, I'll clarify 1-2 points. One is that we pay on gold and silver, but we do not pay on other precious items. The reason is, one is there is clear hadith of Rasulullah that there is no zakat on stones, meaning precious stones. So when there is a directive from Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then we do not pay on it. But if you are transacting in diamonds, selling diamonds or precious items that is stock in trade, you will have to pay on it. And gold and silver, because that is the monetary of evaluation, and the currencies of the world generally are based upon the gold and silver of that area. So that is why, and those days they were using dinar and dirham, and make dua Allah Ta'ala take us back onto the dinar and dirham system whereby we can transact using the gold and silver coins. We should make a lot of dua, especially for Malaysia. I hear they're going into that direction. Also, last week we had a caller and he was getting very upset about why I stated you can give interest money to the poor Muslims. Now he had a point and he stated, no, you cannot allow a Muslim to eat haram. We take cognizance of that fact. However, understand something, that this statement, it is not permissible to eat haram, this is a very good statement, but remember, it is not correct statement. It is not a valid statement. Why? Because in the Shariat, we have got Nusus Akatiya, clear categorical text, that, listen, the Quran says, the eating of pig, which is Najisa'in, which is haram, and all portions of the pig are haram, the person can eat it under dire necessitating conditions. So Muslim can eat a little bit of it, not stomach full, etc., a little bit of it to survive. So eating of the haram has become permissible due to circumstances. Similarly, the eating of that interest due to circumstances of that very poor Muslim has become permissible, because we have got a precedent explained in the Quran itself. So when the muftis of the world have ruled that give out your interest without intention of sawab to the poor Muslim, then they know what they were doing, and this is the rationale behind it. Also, if you leave the interest in the bank, then we have come to know that the bank utilizes the interest to further un-Islamic causes. That is why we are stating clearly that take out the interest and utilize it, and even if you have to give it away to poor Muslims for their upliftment and benefit.
JazakAllah Muslim for that explanation. We go to line number 6. We have Abdullah. Abdullah, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
How are you, Abdullah?
Alhamdulillah. How are you, Mullah?
Alhamdulillah, Abdullah.
Mullah Mufti, alhamdulillah. How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Mullah Mufti, last week, you had to discuss about the interest subject, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is one question about the interest. Can I distribute, pay a fine or speeding or build a toilet outside or, paving outside? Can I use that interest for that money or not?
The paving you have to build where?
Say at my house, if I want to pave the outside or the fix the gates up or build a toilet, is that allowed or?
No, that is not allowed.
Not allowed.
No. However, if you have to pay a fine,
see.
But however, when we say pay a fine, does it mean now that start speeding?
No.
You understand?
Yeah,
due to some circumstances, see. That you were unfortunately trapped, and definitely the government has put some restrictions on the road for you not to speed, etc., and they have controlled it for the benefit of the driver. Now, to intentionally, willfully, voluntarily, purposefully to speed 180, 200, now that is recklessness.
Gee.
And you endangering your life and other people's lives. But yes, if you got some small fine, you can pay it out to the interest.
Yeah, it's quite a big fine, and I don't have the money available, so I thought, I'll
take the interest money and pay it out.
Gee. Another question is about the bond and the housing, loans.
Mm-hmm.
There's an Islamic organization, Roshni, which offers a housing loan. They tell you that you must just calculate 35% of the money they buy the house and then buy it for you, and then you must pay them. But then you must include 35% of the cost of the house. Is that allowed, acceptable? Or?
As long as...
Because it's quite a bit... And,
yes,
about,
as long as there are
the
two transactions.
See?
As long as there are two transactions.
See?
There is a house.
Mm-hmm.
One party bought that house for 100,000. Then that party became owner of that house. Then that party sold it to you for 135,000. That is permissible.
So it must be on their name or something like that?
No, it will be now in abeyance.
See?
That you will pay it when it's finished, then they'll give it, give the house, the title deeds to you.
Alright.
So it's allowed, eh?
Yes.
But the normal bond, you feel it's not advisable.
Definitely, unless you go, as the other person said, that you go to the bank and tell them, I'm not going to pay interest, but I only want to pay one figure. I don't want these words interest in my documents. You buy the house and you put your price. I'm not worried about the interest fluctuation, and you sell me that house.
See, but now you see our in South Africa, the banks mostly, totally
Islamic
banks.
No. Now they are coming to our terms.
See.
Go and approach them.
Yes.
They're now, because Alhamdulillah, Islamic funding is coming, Islamic institutes are coming, and various Islamic banks are coming. So these commercial banks are also coming to so-called Sharia compliant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying they are Sharia compliant.
See.
Go and squeeze their arm.
Is it? So it's any bank I can go to?
Yes, go and talk to them.
Jazakallah.
Abdullah, take care. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. See, to the listeners of Step That Islam, it's almost 2 o'clock. Inshallah, we'll be taking a break after a few moments' time. Start calling us at 011-854-1548. And Mufti Ilyas Sahib is here to take on the calls. What is up the use of zakat money to start a factory? Say, for instance, somebody needs, he wants to start off a business, maybe a factory or something, and he's asking for mail or wealth. So can zakat money be given to this brother to start off his business or his factory?
See, that it will be advisable in this case here, if a person is reliable but he is legible to receive zakat, he can receive zakat, and when he is a recipient of zakat, then you give him the money and encourage him to start some small business, etc. However, you must realize something, that you cannot give zakat with a precondition. You cannot give zakat to an organization and that organization has already stated, you see this zakat here, we are going to use it for school fees, or we are going to use it, we are going to use this thing for some project. There is no condition attached to giving of zakat. You cannot give a person zakat and tell him, listen, I give you a zakat, you contribute to one well, or you contribute to one masjid project, or you contribute to one madrasa project. You cannot give zakat with a riding condition. The recipient of zakat, if he wants, he can give it, and if he wants, he can eat it.
So he is the owner.
You will have to give, make him owner, and you will have to allow him to make the decision. Yes, you can encourage him. Tell him, see, what if we give you some money, then inshallah you start one small business. Then he may tell you, listen, I don't know how to buy the machinery. That will make your task even more easier. So you go and buy him the machinery and give it to him and start him.
Alright, JazakAllah. The condition for zakat is milkiyah, to give it to him, ownership in the person or the recipient. He has the authority to do what he wants to with the zakat money that was received. We have two callers. We take line number 6 first. We go to Brother Muhammad. Muhammad, assalamu alaikum.
Assalam.
Yes, JazakAllah for your call. Muhammad, what's the question?
Sorry, what I want to know about is interest. I've been hearing about the interest money on radio, right?
Yeah.
Say for instance, you've got a lot of interest now. What are you doing?
You've got a lot of interest.
Interest money, yeah.
There are many things you can do with it. So, first of all, you can give it in, to help the poor, Muslim, non-Muslim, without the intention of getting any sawab.
But you can help Muslims also, would you?
Yes. Without the intention, poor Muslims, very, very poor Muslims, without the intention of sawab. According to some ulama, that you can pay your taxes with it. According to some ulama, you can offset interest with it. According to some ulama, that you can pay the speeding fine with it. G.
Is that all?
G.
There's no other, like, for, I mean, you know, I mean, I know, I'm one example, I know for other friends of mine, but like, interest money in thousands. You know, the examples you've given, I mean, it's very good examples, but I mean, you know, it wouldn't really square up that interest money they're sitting with.
Pay taxes with it.
JazakAllah, Muhammad, salam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So what about public toilet, etc., with those interest money for the benefit of maybe the community?
You see, the public toilet issue has become a very messy one. Why? Because, and it originated actually around the masala concerning the public toilets surrounding the Jamia Masjid of Delhi in India. Now, when the ulama ruled that the interest could be utilized for the toilets there, it was after that the government refused to put the toilets. So it's not a blanket rule that you can use interest for toilets.
Sure. We have two callers. We go to line number 6 or line number 5. We have anonymous callers. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Walaikum salam. I just want to ask Mukhtisak that Mukhtisak said that it's better for women, like females, to wear palza like for Hajj because like there's fitna. But do they have to wear a cap?
What do you want to wear?
A hijab.
Yeah, but how do you want to protect the cloth from touching your face?
Do you have to wear the cap?
You can make another contraption if you want.
Oh, okay, but the cloth mustn't touch your face at all.
The cloth should not touch your face.
Oh, okay.
And if it touches your face, then give some charity out.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay,
not necessary the cap. I gave an example of the cap.
Okay.
All right, then. Any other questions we have, sister? Okay, go to line number 6. We have another anonymous caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. I just want to find out about my zakat.
All right,
can I buy foodstuffs and even eat it? put my zakat? Or must I give the money?
No, you can buy food stuff provided that the food is not cooked.
Yeah, not cooked, yeah.
Uncooked,
yeah.
Yes. No problem if you give uncooked food.
Yeah. Okay,
sister.
Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We just have a question that what is the proper way to calculate zakat on cash? The sister says, I usually take the full balance on my bank statement, subtract the interest amount and calculate zakat on the balance for fear that I might pay less than I should. But before you answer, let's take Brother Ahmed on line number one. Ahmed, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahmed in Mayfair, I think it is. Ahmed, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. Mufti Saab, there's two questions.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me the exact time, when does it become, like the Fajr namaz or namaz become qaza for Hanafis and the Shafis?
The Fajr
time. The Fajr, Zohar, Asr, Maghrib and Isha, right? For Hanafi and Shafi. And the second question is...
Ahmed, you want the masjid big bayan, Ahmed?
No. When does Fajr namaz become qaza for Hanafis? What time? After what time? Okay. And after what time does it become qaza for Shafis? And Zohar namaz, after what time does it become qaza for Hanafis and Shafis and Asr and so forth? And the second question is, you know, if you miss your Sunnatul Mawqit namaz for Zohar and Jummah, can you read it after the Fajr Salah? I'll listen on there.
Jazakallah.
Right, Jazakallah for your call. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Well, sir, before you answer the question regarding Qadha, Salah, etc., let's take Brother Aziz in Mayfair, inshallah, the after you'll answer these questions. Aziz bhai, assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. How are you, Aziz bhai?
Okay, now, shukar, man.
Alhamdulillah.
I'm going to have two questions.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, number one. Tanazzul, you know that we're paying, you know, to the government of Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that for transport and all other things. Now, when we use our private transport, you know, so how much money are we supposed to get back? That's number one. Because I know when you go back from Saudi Arabia back to South Africa, I mean, it's such a hassle to get even some of the money back. So we don't know what is it Tanazzul all about. That's question number one. Question number two is about fasting. Right? Now, when does the actual day start, you know, according to Islamic, in Western way, it starts after midnight. Now, does it start after Maghrib? You know, the Islamic day starts after Maghrib, right? That's the thing. And another thing is that I see about 3 o'clock, like, you know, sometimes they say you must make the Nayyat for fast. Allahumma asumu lakan rada. Rada means like tomorrow. But now, hasn't the day already started, you know, because now you're making Rosa, you're going to make Rosa the same day. So why do you have to read that Radan? That's the question.
Jazakallah, brother. For your question, one is very interesting. Musaf, Radan means tomorrow.
Yes.
Important point. So, explanation.
Okay, we start from that Qaza, the brother of the Qaza, and he stated when does the Qaza of Fajr for Shafi Hanafi. Basically, as soon as the sun rises, the time of Fajr has expired, according to both and all the scholars. All the four imams, after the sun rise, then the Fajr will become Qaza. And the Zuhur Salat, once according to the Hanafi scholars, is one misal. According to the Shafi scholars, one and a half misal. That means one and a half shadow.
Mm.
And the Asr, according to all the scholars, it will be right up till the time of the Maghrib. Maghrib will last 1 hour 20 minutes. 1 hour 20 minutes according to the Hanafi scholars, and 1 hour 10 minutes according to the Shafi scholars. And the Sunnat al-Mu'akkadah, if you missed it, you can make it. For example, you missed the Sunnat al-Mu'akkadah after before the Jummah Salat, then you can make it after the normal Sunnat al-Mu'akkadah after the Jummah. So that means after Jummah Salat, you will make it. After your normal Sunnat al-Mu'akkadah, then you'll make the Qaza. Similarly, the Zuhur, if you missed your Sunnat al-Mu'akkadah and you want to make it after that, after your 2 rakats of Sunnat al-Mu'akkadah of your after Zuhur Faraz, then you can make the 4 Qaza of the what you have missed.
So we have a caller on line number 6. Maaf to interrupt you. We go to line number 6, anonymous caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yeah, your question?
My question. It's Maulana, my husband is very old, isn't it?
Apa, can you just put your radio down, please?
Yeah. Maulana, my husband is very, very old. He's 92.
Jeez.
And if he couldn't keep the rosa, then must I give the kafara?
You don't keep. You don't give the kafara. You give fidya.
I must give.
Yeah, you give for every fast. You Hanafi.
Yeah.
You give 10 rand 50 for every fast.
Okay.
And give it, right, so give it to some poor person.
Can we give it to our Muslim people?
You must give it. You must give it to Muslim.
Oh, you can't give it to non-Muslim.
No, you must give it to Muslim people.
All right.
Jazakallah. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Saab looks shy today. He had a program earlier this morning. Mufti Saab, could shy, Pani, can we get you something today?
Yeah, I was just thinking about Ghadan, you know. Inshallah, some answers are coming in the head. First of all, about Tanazzul. The brother asked about Tanazzul. And when you have given Tanazzul to the Hajj ministry, you have actually paid for your accommodation in the air-conditioned fire-proof tents in Mina, and also for your tent accommodation in Arafat, although temporary. And you have paid for your transport from Jeddah to Medina, Medina to Makkah, and Makkah in the 5 days, and also from Makkah back to Jeddah. That's what you have paid for and you're entitled to. If your Hajj agent charges you over and above that for any private transport, which they generally do, unfortunately, and it's like a rip-off, because they charge you 500 riyals per person for 5 days, 1,000 rand, plus minus, and they don't deliver, because inevitably, when the transport comes back from Arafat to Muzdalifah, it does not even reach Mina. So you rather use the Muassasa transport, which you have legally paid for and you are legally entitled for. The Islamic day starts from after the sun set. So the Islamic day. Now when we look at this word Ghadan, it means tomorrow. And this word here will mean the daylight of the daylight period of the 24 hours. The daylight period, and when a person is making niyat, he is making niyat at theory time and using this word Ghadan, he is making intention that he is going to be fasting mostly in the daylight period. That is why the word Ghadan has been used.
Good explanation. We go to line number 4. We have brother Yaqub on line number 4. Yaqub, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Ji, Yaqub. Alhamdulillah, how are you?
Alhamdulillah. Right? I have a question for the Mufti.
Ji, go ahead, Yaqub.
I would like to know, why is gambling haram?
Why is gambling haram?
Oh, gambling. Gee. Anything else?
First, I would like to answer my question on gambling.
I told your question, brother. Your 2 or 3 questions, but I will answer the after, inshallah.
Okay, no. The one has to do with Radio Islam itself. But I will speak to you on that later, if you can answer my question on gambling.
Gambling is haram because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it haram.
Yeah?
When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it haram, we regard it as haram.
Right. Okay, and is one of the reasons behind it is by winning chance, is something by chance, am I right?
No, not necessarily.
Then?
That when you pay and then you pay,
right?
And then you are going to be putting yourself into a position of chance to win.
Right.
You pay.
Okay, so if you're not paying.
No, if you do not pay, then and you just went there, and they drew some lots. They told you, listen, yeah, for example, your local filling station where you generally fill up,
okay.
They told you, you fill up here, we'll give you a cash slip. We'll
right.
give you a cash slip. And each cash slip has got a number on it.
Okay.
At the end of the week, they put all the numbers in one hat,
yeah.
And they drew one number.
Right.
And then they told you that, come here and take one very big dinner set and go away.
Okay.
So there you put no effort, you were filling up at the station.
Yeah.
You just took a number unintentionally, you got that number, you never pay for it, although you filled up there, but you were doing that locally, you were doing it all normally. Now you never intentionally go there, you see.
Yeah. But if we know that some certain competition would be taking place at a place like that, why would we go and support it? Wouldn't we rather go to another place to fill up with your station?
No, you must not go out of your way there.
No, it's not going out of a way. It's more to be practical on Islam and stay away from it. Am I right?
No. You must not go out of your way. That's your local service station. then you go there and you fill up, you win a prize, alhamdulillah. You don't win a prize, alhamdulillah.
So I would say then lots of alhamdulillah. If we win, it's good luck to us. If we don't win, it's bad luck then. Because it's just like working on the same principle. We don't have to go out of our way. Somebody could play it for us and say, okay, I won and today that's it for you. We're not going out of any way.
Okay, your third point?
No, you didn't answer my question, brother, because you see, the thing is, Radio Islam holds competition, which I feel is very wrong, because people could be winning by chance. People phone in and make an effort to phone in to win something, which I feel is very wrong, and which is part of gambling competition. It's
okay,
wrong.
What we will do, inshallah, that we'll say we understood what you said, and we will sit down here with the ulama ikram,
inshallah,
and we'll have a mashwara. We take cognizance of your statement,
inshallah,
and definitely we will have a mashwara here, and we will decide what we're going to
inshallah
do.
Inshallah. And my next question to you, Mufti, you see, the thing is, Radio Islam advertises for Coke a lot. You see, we are very keen listeners of Radio Islam.
Alhamdulillah.
And they advertise for Coke very much.
Yes.
Now, I would like to know why, and why don't they refuse to advertise for Coke? Because they are the same people that are killing our Muslim mothers, brothers and fathers and sisters in Islam in Palestine. Because a certain percentage from Coke goes to Israel, the Jews.
That I can answer for you. Yes. Radio Islam is not an independent radio station. It's a community-based radio station.
Yes.
And it is controlled by government laws.
Right, right.
Now, just as the government has put pressure and has stated that we have to have females on air,
right,
and we have to conform. If you don't bring the females on air, then they will withdraw the license.
Okay.
Similarly, that if any person comes here and he wants to advertise something like the product that you are speaking about, then as the station, the administration of the station, they are forced to advertise it. It need not be that the station and the administrators and the controllers of it are pro it.
Right, right.
Otherwise, what will happen, that they can report the station to the broadcasting board, and
right,
the license will be withdrawn. If Radio Islam was independent, and it was not community-based, and it was not going through the proceedings to get a license, then you could refuse and say, I want to accept this advert, and I don't want to accept this advert.
Yaqub, jazakallah for your question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Take care. And if people want more further information regarding these laws, you can speak to our station manager, Brother Afzal Noor Muhammad. Alright, that was Brother Yaqub in Indonesia. Let's take line number 5. We go to anonymous caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Jeev, your question?
I want to know, you did just spoke earlier on about zakat and said that you're giving it out to the jamaats and places where you people must give it out to.
Mm-hmm.
Is it so?
No, we never speak of yet. Carry on.
And I want to say that there is CIT, and then we're looking at LMA, and then we're looking at Jamiat. They are the people that are supposed to not look at things and just say, no, we can't give you the card, we can't do this, we can't do that. They're supposed to help anyone. I've got a child here who's 9 years old, and I adopted him, and I'm sickly. So if I go to them and I ask them for help, why can't they give me that help? But I mean, because that money that they're getting is not given to them. It's supposed to be given out to people who need it. And they've been helping people that don't need it at all.
Have you tried?
Sorry?
Have you tried going to them?
Yes, that's what I'm trying to explain you, because they are not helping.
Sister, we recommend that you take it up with the higher authorities at those organizations.
If you can represent me to somebody who I know, then I can go and tell them about it.
All right, sister, what we'll do is we'll take you back to the engineers, inshallah, and he'll take your number immediately after the program, inshallah. We'll give you those telephone numbers. Is that okay?
Yes, I will take the number down, and I will see what can they do about it, because I think this must come to an end, because they are helping people that don't need it at all.
All right, jazakallah for raising that concern, sister. We're going to put you through back to Abdullah Bhai, and he's going to take your telephone number. Jazakallah for your call.
Wa
alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mursa, this one important point, and if there is anybody wishing to make any point, yes, make your point without mentioning any person's name and organization. Jazakumullah. We go to line number 6. We have Zainab online. Zainab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you guys?
Alhamdulillah. How are you, Zainab?
Alhamdulillah.
JazakAllah for your call and maaf for waiting so long. JazakAllah.
It's okay. I want to know, I've made my father's hajj already, right? And I'm inshallah going to be making hajj on behalf of someone else. How do I go about it?
I presume you're making a nafil hajj.
For myself, chi.
No. You're making a nafil hajj badal.
Chi.
So when you're making a nafil hajj badal, when you adorn the ihram,
is this for hajj and for umrah?
Yes, now because you have to make tamattu hajj. So when you're adorning the ihram, for example, for umrah,
right?
Ya Allah, I'm making umrah for so and so. Mm-hmm. Make it easy for me, accept it from me.
Right.
That's all. Now you'll go and make the umrah and come out of the ihram. After that hajj time, the 7th of Zilhajj, you'll adorn the ihram again. Ya Allah, I'm making hajj for so and so. Make it easy for me and accept it from me. That is all.
That's all. But yes? Then when you do pelting and like the other rituals of hajj,
if you decide to make intention while you're pelting,
right?
Then someone may have to do your hajj badal.
Oh, okay. Oh, no, so I must rather just make the intention only when I'm making my ihram.
Yes. No. Only then. If you make intention while you're making pelting, you know how it is, how congested there.
Chi.
You can't do that.
Okay.
You only make these two intentions. That is all.
Okay.
Very easy.
Okay.
JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We go to line number 1. Abu Bakr Bai, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hi, brother.
Alhamdulillah. How are you, Abu Bakr?
Shukran, alhamdulillah. I've got a question from Mufti Saab. How are you, Mufti Saab?
Alhamdulillah.
Shukran. Mufti Saab, when you're making a khatam of the Quran, you read two rakats, salah, right? And one of the earlier people that was talking on the radio said that you read something from Yasin. Do you perhaps know anything about it?
No, this is the first time I'm hearing this. Can you explain a little bit?
No, he said after you've made a khatam of the Quran, especially after the Taraweeh Salah, after the month is finished, then you read two rakat Salah and you read some verses of the Quran of Yasin.
No.
I think it was one of the Sufis that was early on the program on Radio Islam. I haven't heard it me, so I thought perhaps you
no, I have not heard of this before. However, when you make khatam of Quran, there are duas generally behind the,
right.
The back of the Quran. Read
okay,
that.
Yeah.
And the best is you make dua for yourself in your language.
Okay.
And you plead to Allah Ta'ala for your needs and the needs of the entire ummah of Rasulullah. And that will be the best cause, because it is stated that when you make khatam of Quran, duas are accepted. So you do not have to make these two rakats. First time I'm hearing of this two rakat story. So you do what we are telling you. That after khatam of Quran, read, praise Allah Ta'ala. Say, Ya Rahman Rahimin, praise Him. Then read Durud Sharif upon Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Make a lot of dua. Try to cry in the dua. Then end your dua with Durud Sharif. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala is Ghafurur Rahim. He'll accept the dua.
JazakAllah, brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, tonight, inshallah, Al-Aziz, in many, many masajid, the khatam of the Quran Kareem will be taking place. And it's a night of dua. The respected listeners, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions and says that duas that are made after the Quran Kareem is made khatam of, all the duas, inshallah, Al-Aziz, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will accept it. It's a sad occasion indeed, as the end of the Quran Kareem, it marks the end of the month of Ramadan and Mubarak. So tonight, inshallah, Al-Aziz, let's exert ourselves in humble supplications and dua to our Creator, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We go to line number 5. We have anonymous caller on line number 5. I think we lost line number 5. Let's go to line number 2. We have Brother Abdul Hamid. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Abdul Hamid, are you online? Assalamu alaikum.
Hello.
Abdul Hamid. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi. Your question, Abdul Hamid?
It's containing a fasting. You know, if somebody in the family don't fast, you know, was unable to, and now that money, can you just give it to the mother of that person? You know, she also is old and she did not fast and sick. Can you distribute that money to her?
The recipient of that money is the same recipient of zakat.
Right.
So zakat, a person cannot give to the mother.
Right.
Okay. So you cannot give to the mother.
Oh, but you can give it to brother or sister.
Brother or sister. Not mother.
Mother or children.
Yes.
Your child.
Yes.
And then clothing. Can you give such as clothing also if you don't have cash?
sadaqah or zakat?
Zakat.
Yes. Zakat you can give by monetary and by kind.
Yes.
By kind, meaning
and
that you evaluate the clothing fairly.
Yes.
You must make a good evaluation of it. Don't overprice it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, underprice it and then give it out.
Acha. Zakat.
JazakAllah, brother Abdul Hamid. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Let's go to line number 6. We have anonymous caller on line number 6. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
Wa alaikum salam. I'd like the Mufti to clarify something for me, please.
Sure, go ahead.
About 2-3 years ago, I did speak to the Mufti in the month of Ramadan regarding zakat that I have to pay on money that has been invested, for instance, in a preservation fund, in an endowment policy, in unit trusts, and in shares. And if I remember correctly, at the time, Mufti Saab had said that the zakat should only be paid when the money is in my hands. Okay, now, I've been listening to the other program during the month of Ramadan, during the week. And what I understand from that is that I should have been paying zakat on that money on a yearly basis. Can Mufti Saab just clarify this for me, please?
Ji, as far as the shares are concerned, hello?
Gee.
As far as the shares are concerned,
gee,
you pay yearly on the current market related value.
Gee.
As far as pension fund, provident fund is concerned, you
gee
pay when you get it.
Okay.
As far as the endowment policy or whatever other policies there are, you pay on what we call surrender value.
Gee.
If there is no surrender value,
gee,
that means you haven't got control over that money.
Gee.
You've got no ownership. You are owner of it. You're not in possession of it.
Gee,
so
gee,
you wait for that money to come.
Gee.
When that money comes, then you pay for your previous years.
Okay. So I would only then calculate for the previous years on whatever money is in my hand at that time.
At that time.
Okay. And okay, so it's the unit trust would be the same principle?
Unit trust, current market-related value.
So I must pay that every year?
Yes.
Unit trust and shares every year, the preservation and endowment only when the money is in my hands.
If they do not give you a surrender value.
Okay. And if they do give me a surrender value?
Pay on that.
Pay on that every year?
Yes.
Okay. And if I have goods, if I'm selling goods from home, I have to pay that on the retail value.
You pay that on the current market value. If you have to, for example, you're selling an abaya.
Gee.
And you have to replace that abaya. You have to go and buy it.
Gee.
How much will you pay for it? You pay on that.
On that amount.
Yes.
Okay. And then another question, sorry, Mufti Saab. There's a brother that we've been assisting. He was in a dire financial situation, and we've been assisting him with zakat money to pay off his debt. He had incurred a lot of debt over the last couple of years. But shukr alhamdulillah, now he has found a job the last 2 months.
So many people we hear of, that they are here, they were with us last Ramzan, not with us now. Daily we hear in Ramzan people are passing away. So we should forget our differences, avoid petty differences, avoid fighting and quarreling, patch up our differences. We are going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter him into the fires of Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save you. Ameen. And may Allah Rabbul Izzat unite all of us. Ameen. Before we commence, you know, I'd like to tell you that I really enjoyed your commentary and your explanation on the word Gharan. In fact, when the question came up, I thought, what answer are you going to give here regarding Gharan? But can I just quickly can you mention that jawab again?
About Gharan?
The question first. And
why
answer.
We make the intention of Gharan? Because the Gharan means tomorrow. Now, tomorrow will mean that a person is making the intention Sehri time. And Sehri time generally is the dark time. And the fasting is starting Subah Sadiq. And Subah Sadiq is a little bit dark, moving towards the sunlight. And so the person is saying, I'm going to be fasting tomorrow, meaning I'm going to be fasting in the daylight time that is coming. In the daylight time that is coming. Now another person can say that how come this is certain portion of this is a little bit dark? Then we have got another Arabic rule that the order of the majority will go on the whole. The order of the majority would go on the whole. So the order of the majority is in the daylight. It will fall upon the whole of the fasting duration. However, that person who asked the request, Allah Ta'ala reward him.
I mean, jazakumullah.
He just made our brains work a little bit.
So the qaida is al-akthar al-hukm al-kul.
Yes, that's the qaida.
Yes, jazakumullah. So it reminds me of Majusa days when Ustad Sam asked the question, when you come out of the toilet, a person says, Ghufranak, why does he ask fana from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Whereas he just went to the toilet to relieve himself. And there's two or three jawabs ulama kiram give. One is that by lowering his trouser or her trouser, it's a bit immoral. And so a person comes out of the toilet asking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another explanation is that a person always supposed to be in the ibadah and in the praises of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And because he missed out those few minutes, he comes out and he asks forgiveness from Allah rabbul izzat. Yes, we go to line number 6. We have brother Ziyad. Ziyad bhai, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Jazakallah.
I just want to find out from the Mufti Sahab. A guy's got a lotto machine in his shop, right? And the thing is, he's telling me he doesn't mix his money with the lottery, with what he receives from lottery, understand? But he uses that money to pay.
To pay?
He uses to pay his rental.
Okay.
I'll listen on the radio, right?
Alright, yeah, a very, very important question, Mufti Sahab.
Before I answer that, I can give a third example for that Gwafaradaka that he just came in my mind now. For example, the person went to the toilet and came out, and now he's seeking forgiveness because he could have not, or she could not have passed urine or stool kama hakahu as in the light of Sharia.
Oh, subhanAllah. Good job.
You understand?
Yeah.
So the whole proceeding in the toilet could not have been in total conforming with the Sharia. Like, for example, when you go out in Jamaat and the Amir Sahib tells you, now we are returning to the masjid, make istighfar.
Yeah.
Now, what sin did you make that you was making istighfar? Yeah,
yeah. The you've not fulfilled the rights of coming out in the path of
yeah.
Arab.
You haven't done it, kama hakkahu. You may have done something wrong in the proceeding, or looked somewhere wrong, or said something wrong, or you are not focused properly, or you do not make zikr properly. That's why you make istighfar and return. Now, the brother with the lotto machine is absolutely haram to have lotto machine in your shop, so irrespective for what purpose it is. Muslim should not have lotto machine in his shop. Please remove that machine. It causes no barakah to come into your shop. You may think it is busy, you may think you're making profit, you may think you're saving rental. Please, we appeal to you that is a haram thing. Remove it from your shop. And after removing it, you may think you're getting losses, but in reality, you'll be pleasing Allah. So once you please Allah, then you see how much barakah you'll get.
SubhanAllah. Lisa, what about pinball machines, Pacman machines, pool tables, whereby a certain amount is given to the person, the shopkeeper, and he pays his rent with that money, for example?
All these machines, basically, they are these machines that you have mentioned, they are vain and futile. So to have them, definitely it is makruh. And the reason is, it is wasting time, it is of no real benefit. In fact, it is lavishness, extravaganza, and also it creates unsocial environment, place to hang around. And where they hang around, the youngsters, lot of trouble, smoking takes place. Lot of places we are coming to know, unfortunately, now Muslims, where the Muslim boys and girls meet, and lot of un-Islamic activities take place. So on the whole, it is definitely a detested thing to have in your shop, and try to avoid having that in your shop.
Alright, Jazakallah. We go to line number 5, anonymous caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Jazakallah for calling your question.
Yes. A person has bought a car from the and is being financed by the bank. There is an interest charge. Can somebody else pay that interest from their own interest monies?
That is permissible.
Jazakallah. So to pay interest with interest money.
To offset interest with interest money, right, is permissible. Some ulama ikram have the opinion that, for example, you take interest from one specific area and put it back into the same area. Other ulama ikram have the opinion, no, interest is interest. You can interchange it to offset any sort of other interest. So they say you can use any interest to offset any interest, and you can mix the institutes dealing in the interest.
Before we go ahead, we have a janazah announcement. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. It is the mayat of marhum Ismail Akalwaya from Akalwaya Strips. The janazah will leave from Fortsburg to the nuclear Qabristan. We don't have time confirmation. As soon as we have confirmation, we'll keep you updated. In the cause of death was a natural cause. So it is the mayat of Marhum Ismail Akhilwaya from Akhilwaya's chips. The janaza will leave from Fortsburg. The time is to be confirmed. And I think Ismail Akhilwaya is the brother of Sister Zubaida Akhilwaya, who passed away on Thursday night out in Makkah Mu'azzama. So brother and sister both have passed away this week. Allahu tabarak wa ta'ala grant him all maghfirat and jannatul firdaus. Ameen. We go to line number one. We have anonymous caller again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jay, I want to ask that when we keep a nafal fast, right? And you know, if it breaks during the day, then we just keep one qada.
Yes.
And for a qada fast, when we keep it, and then if it breaks, then we keep two qada.
Yes.
I thought the Muftas explained it. It's like, how come we're keeping two qada then?
One is for you owe already one, right?
Yes.
Now, see, you started nafil fast.
Yes.
And you keep it. So you keep your nafil fast, you kept it, alhamdulillah. But now you keeping a qaza fast. And you broke that fast. You owe one, and you started one, and you broke that one, so you owe two.
Okay, so for nafil just one and qaza, it's two.
Yes.
Okay.
Jazakallah, sister. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Line number five, anonymous caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. I just wanted to find out from Mufti Saab regarding the masla concerning Hajj. You know, when you're doing the walking Hajj, then certain people take groups. And sometimes, I don't know why, because maybe the group is big, and then they read the talbiyah on the loudspeaker. Then this is a disturbance to other people making zikr. What's the ruling? Like, is it right to make it on the loudspeaker, the talbiyah?
I
listen on the radio, inshallah.
Jazakallah,
sister. Assalamu alaikum. Whilst you're going on the walking Hajj, especially, and certain times, especially in large groups, there is a few brothers who have these hailers. The sister is referring to a hailer. And the person on the hailer, he reads the talbiyah. Understand a few laws about talbiyah. One is the talbiyah for the lady, she should read it softly. And the talbiyah for the men audibly. To read talbiyah in congregation is makruh. That means everybody read in unison in congregation talbiyah, that is makruh. But in the walking hand, sometimes we encourage the hailer, the one with the hailer, to recite the talbiyah to remind the haji, listen, read talbiyah. As far as zikr is concerned while walking, the best zikr in the Hajj is the talbiyah. So the person on the hailer is reminding that read your talbiyah. And when you read talbiyah, the more talbiyah you read, the easier your Hajj becomes. However, if you feel that that hailer is disturbing you and your group is huge, then move away from that hailer and you can read your talbiyah silently and softly. Definitely it can sometimes cause a disturbance for an individual.
Jazakallah. We go to line number 6, anonymous caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Hello. What is that regarding a Hajj? Another question that comes to mind is, what about going for Hajj with borrowed money? Maybe a person goes to a bank, takes money on loan, and with that loaned money he goes for Hajj. What's the ruling on this?
We take the money now and pay later.
Gee. Yeah. The important now, point later. He takes the money on interest. He takes the loan on interest.
No, when you do such a transaction, you should not do such a transaction. That you take loans on interest and go for Hajj. When Hajj is not farz upon you financially, don't make it farz upon you financially. When Allah Ta'ala blesses you with wealth, then go away for Hajj. When Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has not given you wealth, then why put yourself into difficulty? Why put yourself into OD? Why put yourself into interest? Why put yourself into this unnecessary difficulty on the day of judgment? When you have got no means to make the Hajj, Allah is not going to ask you why you did not make the Hajj.
Jazakallah for that. And we have also regarding going for Hajj with haram money, it's not jaiz. And in the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when a man performs Hajj with haram and unlawful money, and when he says labbaik Allahumma labbaik, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala answers him, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala replies and says that la labbaik wa la sa'adik, that we do not accept your shout of the labbaik, and your Hajj has not been accepted by Allah Rabbul Izzat. We have another question, or rather we go to line number 5. We have a caller on line number 5. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. I'm just going to find out about something. Look, I got married, right? And I'm loving, I'm a few years married. But the thing is, my husband's family, not me, I have not cut off ties. My husband's family has cut off ties with me, refusing to visit me or eat by me or accepting anything from me. But I feel guilty of the fact, according to Islam. So tell me, whose fault is that? I mean, I go to their house, I eat there, I accept everything from them. So what do I do in a case like this? It's just because of arrogance and pride. No ill feeling, or there hasn't been a quarrel or a fight or anything between us. Just out of arrogance and pride, they refuse to come to me. So what do I do in a situation like this? I listen over here, Jazakallah.
Jazakallah, sister. Assalamu alaikum. Very relevant question, Mufti Sahib.
See, questions of this nature.
Sure.
That, alhamdulillah, they are good to hear and listen to, but difficult to answer, because in any situation there are two sides of a coin.
Definitely two sides.
So when we hear one side and we make a comment, then they say the Mufti said this. Now the Mufti does not know the other side of the coin. He is not a person having the knowledge of the unseen. No one has got the knowledge of the unseen. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Allahul Ghuyub. But what if she is saying the truth, then she should make sabr, make dua, and talk to her husband properly and tell him, see, this is not fair. I go there, but they do not come here. This is a thing of domestic harmony and cooperation. However, if they are not coming, then she should not be very worried. She is in comfort zone. They are not coming here. They are not traveling here. A lot of times what happens, that the in-laws come and cause difficulty for the daughter-in-law. So she should look at it from a positive angle. That I'm happy they are not coming here, otherwise just now they come and cause difficulty in my home. I'm married 2 years, I'm happy. If they come now, just now they'll cause difficulty in my home. So always look at a situation from a positive angle, not from a negative angle.
Line number 6, anonymous caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. I'd just like to ask Mufti Sahib, with regards to interest, you can pay off interest with interest. With the same rules as far as zakat apply, where a parent cannot give the child interest to pay off, for instance, a bond.
No, say that question slowly to me.
Okay. Say, for instance, my parent has money invested and they are getting interest on this money.
Mm-hmm.
But on an annual basis, they take the interest out and they give it to charity without the hope of receiving a sawab, okay?
They can take that interest, and if you've got a bond, they can put it in your interest in that bond.
Can they?
Yes.
They can?
Yes.
So the zakat principles wouldn't then apply a parent can't give a child?
No.
Okay. Jazakallah, Mufti
Sahib. Jazakallah. The interest of the bond and not the bond itself.
Yes.
Okay. Jazakallah.
Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, we go to line number 5, which is. Assalamu alaikum.
Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. How are you, brother?
Alhamdulillah.
Jazakallah.
The one caller just from before this caller here, saying, you know, the husband said in debt. Tell him, make sabar, make dua. It happened to me also. The table changed around automatically. Allah makes the table change, right? It takes a long while, but it happens, right? Everything turns over. Then he converted to everything, no problems. In the beginning, it happened that. But after it happened that. One more question is that I would ask Mufti Sahib. Say we got, you know, extension 30, right? I have to give you the area also. That we have to pay the house to the Department of Housing, right? And they got certain years, you pay for 30 years, and they got an amount, all right?
Yes.
And there is an increase. Like, if you take that amount, and in about less than 10 years, you finish paid the amount already for the house, which was valued, right? I can give you the figures also if you need. And what happens after that, you're paying them, but they don't say, all right, I don't know, I didn't really contact properly yet, right? They don't say anything there, but what happened to the rest of the amount? Because over and above, you paid the house already. We want to know, comment on that, especially like extension 30 and the RGP houses.
You see, I'm not clear. I must see the question.
I'll listen to you on the radio,
hold on.
Is there any question there? I can give you a telephone number and I'll look at the deed of sale from the housing department and let you know also. But this happens to each and every house in any area, whether it's any area, whether it's any part of South Africa.
All right, brother, what you do is phone the front desk. The number is 854-702 and leave your telephone number there, all right?
All right, I've still got my telephone number.
Okay.
Right.
Jazakallah.
All right, Assalamu alaikum.
We have a few written questions. The first question is, Mufti Sahib, we are selling clothes in the shop. Can we pay zakat from that clothes?
Yes, you can pay zakat in cash or kind, and here the clothing. But however, undervalue the clothing so that they can be benefit of the poor. Don't overvalue the clothing.
Okay. The second question is, what do you read in third zakat witr if you don't know the dua?
If you do not know the dua, first of all, you make one effort to try to learn half line a day, and inshallah by the end of Ramadan you should be able to learn the dua. If you do not know the dua, then read Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina azaban nar, preferably 3 times. If you do not know that also, then read Ya Arhamar Rahimin 3 times. That will suffice.
And can one make Hajj for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam?
Yes, it is permissible to do so. However, that when we are making Hajj Badal, try to make the Hajj Badal with cautiousness, because it is a little bit difficult at times to make Hajj Badal, especially when it is wasiya. If it is nafil, no problem.
Alright, then zakat on jewelry, a certain organization says you have to add 14%. I don't think that question is too clear.
14%, maybe they want to get the proper value of it. Again, you see, we are talking of the replacement value of it. One is the value of that gold, and one is the value of the gold if you have to purchase it. One is the net value of that gold, and one is the replacement value of that gold. So that organization that is talking about 14%, it looks like that organization is making sense.
Alright, we have a lady going for Hajj. Can a woman go for Hajj with her brother-in-law and her sister?
Her brother-in-law?
Her sister's husband. Is
no, no,
mahram?
That's not a mahram. The brother-in-law, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Alhammu Maut, that the brother-in-law is death. How you fear death, how you stay away from death, and how you don't like to go near death, and how you don't want to accompany death, and how you don't want to think about death, that's how you treat the brother-in-law. This does not only apply to Hajj, but applies to all circumstances. The brother-in-law should be kept at distance, especially when we have got extended family situations and we live in extended family environments and all sit all around one table and eat. So the brother-in-laws are looking at each other's wives and eating and sitting and talking and laughing and giggling and cracking jokes. This is absolutely haram. There is no barakat in such a city. It should be, if there are many, if a person has got 4 or 5 daughters and he's got 4 or 5 son-in-laws, then the men should sit separately and the ladies should sit separately. This is the ruling, and that is the ruling without any dispute, and there is barakat in that ruling. It may sound orthodox, but to follow what I am saying, there is tremendous barakah in it.
Definitely, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's Muslim, so the hadith of Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam, Alhammu al-Maut, their brother-in-laws are death. Muslim saying, let's be cautious and careful because we are living in the times of fitna and fasad. Muslim, does hayd and does menstruation affect the Hajj in any way whatsoever?
The haze, if a lady has haze, that means monthly or menses during the Hajj period, in fact, it is very easy for her to make the Hajj, and she should not be depressed. She should not feel deprived. In fact, she should be feeling comfortable. She can do all the rituals, the rites of Hajj, besides obviously Salat and Tawaf and Ziyarah. So she will go to Mina, she will go to Arafat and make a lot of dua, and then she will go to Muzdalifah, make a Mabit there, pick up the pebbles. Then she will go and make Ramiya Jamarat and wait for the time for her purity to come. When her purity comes and when she is pure and pure, then she takes ghusl, etc., and then goes to Makkah al-Mukarramah. Even if it after the days of Hajj, no matter how long the delay is, there is no dam involved. She makes a tawaf and ziyarah. After that, she makes a wajib tawaf, which is wajib, the tawaf and wida, and comes home.
JazakAllah for that. We go to line number 1, anonymous caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu.
Chief brother, JazakAllah for calling. Any question?
I've noticed that all the callers that made calls concerning the zakat, giving out the zakat and alms to the poor, no? But none of them was, Muslims have never mentioned to one of them they must get a letter from the Jamiat first before they give the zakat out.
Can you explain to me?
Because everywhere you see the people go to for zakat or anything for help, the people demand letters from the Jamiat first.
Still, I'm not clear, my brother. Can you explain to me what you say?
What I'm saying is, when people go out there for help,
yes,
or
Oh, you're saying that the person who's looking for zakat must go to the Jamiat for a letter?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay. Inshallah, there should be some system like that. I do appreciate your call.
Yeah, but why is there should be a system like that? Rasulullah Pak never made a system like this.
No, you see, this age here, when you come out onto the street, I acknowledge what you're saying, that what should be the original thing, that the person should go to the poor Muslim himself.
Yes.
And that's what we have written in our books also.
Yeah.
Preferable, most rewarding, that a person must go physically to the poor person and give it, so that he knows that I am living in and steeped in luxury, but there are people there out there who are groveling in poverty. And I must go and see my Muslims in poverty, and when I give my zakat, then I will not forget them, and throughout the year I'll go and try and help them. I appreciate your call, and definitely we should try to do this first.
Yeah.
Instead of when one organization comes, you write one big check and just give it to him and say, right, give out my zakat.
Yeah.
No.
Well, let's see what Imaf, don't get me wrong. You see, there's a lot of organizations that goes out on the road, collection for masjid, whatever yeah. the cause is, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, Imaf, you must understand me properly, yeah. Whichever organization goes, I'm sure they got a lot of people in the organization before they send somebody out for collection, right?
Yeah.
But the biggest problem that everybody that we've noticed that have on the road is that you cannot raise money without the consent of Jamiat Ulema. What I want to know is who made this law?
Now, to control bogus collectors, there are, unfortunately, my respected brother, that so many people who come from overseas, etc., that we have to have a screening process.
100% what you're saying. I agree what you're saying. That is for overseas, right?
Yeah.
What about local?
Local, if you have a local organization, then you can go to your local people who know what you are doing, and if you present your case to the local person, then inshallah you'll be able to raise funds.
I used to help some organization.
Brother, it's a real serious problem in South Africa as well. If I could just mention, a few weeks ago there was a person who was arrested. He took 100,000 rand. He was a bogus collector. So there needs to be a system. The details will be given, inshallah, off air, brother.
Okay, but this is what I'm saying is, please, don't misunderstand me. You see, because I mean, the other day I was listening to Radio Islam. There was a kirat given on radio, right? And this Molana or Mufti translated this, and he mentioned zakat on that. You know, I looked in Quran and hadiths, I looked in books and Sharia laws and so on. I never came across anything as such, like the Ulema Council or Sunni Ulema Council or Jamiat or MJC was not authorized by any. The Prophet never authorized such things. Where does this come around? That's what I want to know.
Yes. What we are saying, that is for administrative purposes.
Yeah.
Jazakallah, brother.
Jazakallah for your call. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Line number 6, anonymous caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Jazakallah for holding on, sister. Someone, your question?
Hey, Maulana, so one question. My husband had 6 months ago, he had a heart attack. And after 3 days, he had another one. So he had 2 heart attacks in that 1 month. And now it's 6 months already.
Okay.
And this, he started fasting. He kept fast for 4 days.
Okay.
And he became very ill. So we went to the doctor back and he said, no, he shouldn't be keeping fast anymore. But after a week, he kept 4 and then he left for 7 days. But after 7 days, he recovered again and he started keeping his food. And what you would like to know, yeah. Must he pay kafara or what must he do?
We make dua that Allah Ta'ala grant him shifa kamila, ajila, mustamira. Allah Ta'ala grant him good health. We make a lot of dua for that. Your husband is quite brave man. After 2 heart attacks, he's keeping fast. And the doctor who advised him not to fast also,
he also
must have made a valid assessment, we presume. However, what you should do, that hold on, don't just pay fidya now, wait a little bit while after Ramadan and see his health, and perhaps in the winter month when it is very short, then he may be able to keep the qaza fast. If he's unable to do so in the winter month, even because of his ill health, then give out the fidya. For every fast, give out 10 rand 50.
10 rand 50.
Jazakallah. Line number 4, we have anonymous caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
My question to Manana is, just say you had a dispute with your neighbor and you were forced to apologize and ask for forgiveness, but they refused to forgive. What should you do?
If the neighbor, if you are saying what you are saying is truthful, then you have asked for forgiveness, Now your responsibility in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is over. So you now, all the time you see them, you try to greet them, you give them, make them salam, etc. Those who are, whom it is permissible to greet, make dua for them. Inshallah, Allah ta'ala will soften their hearts. Sooner or later, the differences will patch up, inshallah. However, your responsibility is over.
But go, inshallah, try and go over and over again to that neighbor and ask for maaf and make salam only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nothing else. Although you are correct.
Thank
you so much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yet, in fact, once in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one person comes and he says, O Nabi of Allah, I have a certain member in my family and I go to him, I ask him for maaf, he just refuses to speak to me. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, O my Sahabi, you do your responsibility. Go over and over to that person and you speak to him. If he doesn't speak to you, no problem. He is making his own jahannam, he is preparing his own jahannam from now. Alright, let's go to line number 5. We have Brother Muhammad. Muhammad, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, Mufti sir. What I'd like to know is a person has already done his Faris Hajj. And he's been going for, say, for the next 10, 15 years for Hajj. And in the meantime, his brothers and sisters are encouraged, like paying off houses and things like that. Which is more important, the Nafil Hajj or helping his brother? I'll listen on the radio. Jazakallah.
Jazakallah, assalamu alaikum.
The person is going for Nafil Hajj. And his relatives, his family members, brothers and sisters, etc., they are involved or they are steeped in debt. However, in the light of Shariat, we cannot squeeze his arm and tell him, you can't go for Hajj, you cannot go for Hajj, and you have to help your brothers. Yes, we can encourage him and explain the virtues of helping your kith and kin, helping your brothers, etc., but we cannot tell him where to use his money. It is his money, his prerogative, that if he wants to go for Hajj, he can go for Hajj with that money. However, we will advise him, highly advise him, that please, that try to help your brothers and sisters, brothers and sisters who are involved, or who are immersed in death.
JazakAllah. Mulisa, we go to line number 1. We have Nuramla. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam. Mulana, I just want to air my view concerning the collection. Just to preview the last third caller, I think, or the fourth caller, that don't know where the law says that Jamiat al Ulama made this law. But I feel that you must have an organization where to guide us, because, like you said, there are many bogus collectors that are coming. But what is the problem here is people coming from Africa, right? Now, in that places, African Muslim Agency got a branch all over, right? When these brothers come to this country, right, they don't have a Jamiat letter. So, brother, why don't you go to the Jamiat office and say, you know, we've been waiting for so long for Jamiat to give us a letter, right? And they still haven't done so, and they can't come out to investigate. Now, I spoke to one of the, I don't know, is it the ulama or what, it came for collection, and we just got into discussion. Now, there is a difference with African Muslim Agency and Jamiat al Ulama also, right? Okay, now, this is just from this person what I heard, like maybe I'm wrong, right? But what I'm saying, if the two of them can come to some sort of an understanding, say if the brother is from Kenya and there's a branch of Muslim Africa Agency there, right? They need money for mosque and madrasa and things like that. They must then go to Muslim Africa Agency, right? They must then consult Jamiat al Ulama in this country. If they don't have the funds, if Jamiat have the funds here, fine. In that way, it can speed up. It saves the people all the problems of coming to this country, whatever, by bus, whatever the case is, and then, you know, they don't get money from us. Because I adhere strictly, if you don't have a Jamiat al Ulama letter, I don't give. Just recently, in this week, or was it last week, there were some Pakistani collectors that came here, right? They collected their, so to say, zakat money, and I believe so, look to correction, Allah forgive me, I didn't see with my own eyes, but they opened up business with zakat money. Now, there's a lot of wrongs going in out there. And there was some time ago where the Alim came from Pakistan, and he said he's collecting for the Mujahideen. You understand? And he didn't have a Jamiat letter. Right? So I told him, I told a guy who's working for him, tell him in Urdu, look, I don't give anything if he doesn't have a Jamiat letter. Or if it comes with an alim that is locally situated here, just say, for example, if he's in Roshni, maybe there's Mulana Dawood, there's Mufti Shabiria, you know, somebody that knows and comes around with him, then, you know, glad we don't even need a Jamiat letter, because I know Mulana Dawood, I know Mufti Shabiria, you know, I know these people.
Whatever you have said over the air, whatever you have told us, please tell the Jamiat that. Jazakallah.
Brother, Jazakallah so much for your call, direct point.
No, sorry, I didn't understand it. Why must I tell Jamiat that?
Because I cannot do anything for concerning your views. If you tell the Jamiat, they will address that. Your question and suggestion and comments, are directed towards the Jamiat.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, over the air, can the two organizations or all of them come together and inshallah, help in this line?
Yes, when you talk to the Jamiat, we'll talk to the Jamiat, inshallah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, if you go talk, you may carry weight, but if I, like a guy like me, will talk to them, they'll just probably
Every Muslim carries weight, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Yes, JazakAllah so much, for brother.
Right.
Allah unite all hearts. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Line number 4. We go to line number 4. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother. Your question?
Ji. Manana, it's a question relating to zakat.
Ji, go ahead.
I have some finance which is inheritance money, and apparently it belongs to my sister. And unfortunately, my sister is mentally retarded. So I'm actually in charge of the money which she got, you know.
Okay.
Now, what I would like to know is, is zakat payable on that money? You know what I'm saying? She is mentally retarded. She's not a normal person.
Ji.
So I want to know if zakat is payable on that money.
Zakat is not. Liable. She does not have to give zakat because zakat is for Muslim mature sane.
Right.
Not insane.
I don't have to give zakat on that money, in other words.
Jazakallah, brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We go to line number
5. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum. I have a question for Mufti Sahib.
Yeah.
I was recently in Laidus Mat for a mayat. And the mayat was, lady was given ghusl, and after the ghusl, she was put onto the bed, and the family members sat with her in that room. Is this right?
The family members provided, for example, you are saying she's a lady, then the ladies who are in the state of purity, they can sit around the mayat, and they can make some zikr or etc. They can sit around there.
No, my question is the mayat.
Yes.
Normally, when you give ghusl, the mayat is put onto the floor, or you know, for everyone to sit in, make dua or whatever. But this, the mayat was kept on the bed.
On the bed.
Yes.
No problem.
Is that all right?
No problem.
All right. Jazakallah.
Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Line number 6. Anonymous caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Jesus.
I got a question regarding fasting, right?
All right.
My lips are terribly cracked. Terrible.
Your lips?
Yeah, lips.
Okay.
And like, you can just open your mouth a little bit more wider and it starts bleeding. So I want to ask Mufti Sahib if I can use any lip ice or some lip treatment using fasting.
Okay.
You can use medication on your lips provided you do not swallow that ointment. Whichever ointment you use for those cracked lips, do not swallow that ointment.
And if it stays, it's fine.
A little minor taste way you can taste it, that's okay.
Oh, okay. And another question, Milana, about the deceased. You know, family members, they when we have funerals, like the ladies are in a fast, they're not pure. And when they sit in the room, they say that they heard somebody say that the soul of Muslim mayat after it's given for sale only. Is that enough for that?
Those who are not in a state of purity should not sit near the mayat. They should sit in another room.
Alright. We go to line number 1. We have anonymous caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. I'd like to repeat that answer on interest. There was a caller earlier and it said how to use the interest. If Mufti Sahib can just repeat that question.
Repeat that?
Repeated answer.
Yes.
On how to use interest.
They can use it to aid absolutely poor Muslims without the intention of sawab, aid non-Muslims. Some ulama say you could pay fines, some ulama say you could pay your taxes.
Line number 4, brother Mahmoud in Kwazulu Natal. Mahmoud, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, how are you, brother?
Alhamdulillah, how are you, Mahmoud?
Alhamdulillah, shukr. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahib.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Okay, Mufti Sahib, I have one question here. What is the position with regards to people who are over the age of 60 and 65 who are whose kids are wealthy, who live with their children, then they collect taxes, they collect pension from the government? Now, taking into consideration that this is a kufr government, the proceeds of the monies that the government, knowing full well, is from liquor stores, gambling, casinos, and these are large sums of money, which is now interpolated with the monies that are coming in the form of taxes and things like that. Now, will it be then permissible for people like these to collect this pension? Yet they are being supported by their children, and then they are still dependent on the pension money.
You listen on air?
Okay, I'll listen on there.
Assalamualaikum. Alhamdulillah.
It is permissible to take the pension money from the government and to utilize it. And otherwise, if you have to go into those details which the brother is rightly pointing towards and indicating towards, then the funding which the government does onto government projects, for example, government schools, etc., that means all those teachers, their salaries is questionable. In fact, according to that logic and analogical reasoning which the brother is directing towards, all that will be haram. So we will not go into the details of that. We'll say that it is permissible to take the pension from the government and utilize it.
Alright, Jazakallah. Line number 5, anonymous caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahab. I'm a chronic diabetic on 3 insulins a day. I will be very balik soon. I'm only 12 years. What I want to know is when I'm trying to keep Rosa, and by about 5 o'clock my sugar level seems to drop. What would you suggest? I would like to listen on air.
Jazakallah, sister, for your call. Allah give you shifa.
Amen. 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 Amen.